Good morning. Welcome to Hope on the Beach Church. Good to see you this morning. We're glad you're here. Thank you, Christy, for getting us started. And let's see, there's one more thing. It's coming to me. Good call, Rich, but that's not it. Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. You're welcome. Now get over yourself. All right, so no, we want you to have a blessed day, and hopefully the kids won't forget you, right? And we are conscious, I want you to know, that not Mother's Day is not a happy day for everybody. And we understand that. We know there are losses associated to it. There are unfulfilled dreams associated with it. We understand that, but it is still a day that moms should celebrate. So we do recognize you today, and we have a gift for you on the way out. It's 5x7 of me. No, it's not. It's not. But we do have a gift for you on the way out, but we didn't want you to spill it on the way in. So it's on the way out, we got you covered. So good to have you here with us this morning. You do have a bulletin, which is what Rich was alluding to. You have a bulletin that has a sermon outline in it, and then you also are on it, and then you also have a sermon outline in it. There is an insert with what turns out to be the correct sermon outline. We got ahead of ourselves, apparently, and so we had one printed, and then, whoops, wrong one. So we reversed back, and we have an insert for you, so you can follow along. But we also in your bulletin is a connection card. We'd love for you to fill out the front side, especially if you're new to us. We would love to have your information so we can connect with you. We don't always get to do that in person. So we'd love to have some info that you are here. So thanks for being here today. So glad you've come. And we just want you to enjoy worship. It's a judgment-free zone. Stand, sit, raise hands, clap hands, do as you wish. We just want you to feel at home and experience Jesus today. My name is Steve. I am director of ministries here, and I'll be bringing the message this morning. So we are glad to have you with us. Let me lead us in a word of prayer, then we'll stand and go to worship. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy and for your presence. We're grateful that you have come to be with us. And so we pray that you will anoint this service with your presence and speak to us from your seat of glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to ask you to stand. Those of you joining us online, please join us in worship.
Paper in the That song talks so much about how he is so big and we are so small, but he loves us and he chooses us and he knows us by name. But then he also reminds us how special we are and what our gifts are. And in Psalm 8 it says, O Lord our God, the majesty and glory of your name fills all the earth and overflows the heavens. You have taught the little children to praise you perfectly. May their example shame and silence your enemies. When I look up into the night skies and see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you've made, I cannot understand how you can bother with mere puny man to pay any attention to him. And yet you have made him only a little lower than the angels. We're just a little lower than the angels, guys. And placed a crown of glory and honor upon his head. You have put him in charge of everything you made. Everything is put under his authority, all sheep and oxen and wild animals too, the birds and the fish and all life in the sea. O Jehovah, our Lord, the majesty and glory of your name fills the earth. Amen. The next song is called Made for More. And I just pray that when we sing this song, we search our hearts and we ask him to guide us through what that is, what that looks like on earth.
I know who I am, 'cause I know who you are. The course of salvation is only the start. Now I am chosen. Grave out. be tending a grave. I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. I was paid for more. Do you believe that? So why would I lay bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours. I was paid for more.
Thank you, Jesus, that you know our hearts. Forgive us for our sins when we fall short. But God, just we ask that we keep following you with our hearts, our minds, our souls, our bodies, our hands, our feet. Help us to be more like you, Lord. All the people said amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. What a great time of worship. We're so glad you've come to be with us today. And we are in the middle of a series. If this is your first trip to Hope, you are catching the middle message of a sermon series on being a disciple by design. One of Hope's dedications or commitments, we are very devoted to training discipleship. We believe that God has made us disciples just by including us in his family. So automatically we belong to him. That makes us disciples of him. The question is, how committed do we want to be? And the first week we started with having a committed mind, to have a thinker like God has. And then last week we looked at what it means to have committed eyes and to see the world like God sees the world. And today we come to another part of our body, and that is our hands. We are to have committed hands to do the work that God gives us to do. And so today we're going to notice a couple of things about our hands. But first I want to ask you if you've ever noticed how dangerous it is to hold a young baby in your hands. And I'm not talking to the guys, because we're always afraid we're going to drop the baby. I don't mean that. I mean how dangerous it is, because their quick little hands can get a hold of anything. Have you noticed your necklace, ladies? And you've got, you know, that on a priceless chain, and they grab a hold of that. Or I love to watch a woman scream when they get your earring, because you think those are beautiful, and so does the baby. But you don't, no, let go. They grab things. When little toddlers would come to the house, we would have to kind of toddler-proof everything. Otherwise, Mamaw's pretties were all in danger. So we have to, because they're so quick and their hands are fast, they always grab whatever fascinates them. And it doesn't matter what it is, whether it's hot, cold, liquid, solid, doesn't matter. They see it, they want it, they're going in. That's how these little kiddos work. And some of them, their hands are quick. Now, I point that out because I want you to think about something. That those hands constantly reaching for something, as a baby, that hasn't changed. We're adults, and we still reach for things all the time. We work hard to acquire things. We save things. We have things that we think through the course of time are going to gain some worth. And I remember back in the day on our vacations down here, Judy was always buying a particular artist's print. And I would always say, why do we need another? I can paint you something to hang on the wall. What do we need? No, these are, you see that little number, 119 out of 500 or whatever, that's going to mean something someday. She thought, we've sold every one of those things in a garage sale. That number didn't mean a thing to people that were looking at those prints. So we sometimes go grabbing for things that we think are going to be worth something, and they really turn out not to be. Or we grab for things that are not healthy for us to grab for. I don't know how many times my doctor's going to have to tell me to stop grabbing for Twinkies. He can say it till he's blue in the face. I ain't quitting on the Twinkies. Ain't happening. So we as adults, as we come into our adult life, we have lived a life from birth, childhood, teenhood, adulthood. We have grabbed at things. We always have. Our very number one point is your hands are not neutral. They're always reaching for something. Meaning, we don't ever run out of wants or desires. We never run out of seeing things that we'd like to have. And yet, we don't always reach for good things. Here's what Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 6. Do not lay up treasures for yourselves on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So he's telling us that we're always reaching for something, but we ought not be reaching for earthly things, but instead we should store up treasures in heaven. Store up work done for the Lord. Only that which is done for the Lord will last. A good friend of mine over the years has been a preacher by the name of Rick Stanley. Rick is the stepbrother of Elvis Presley. And when Elvis died in 76, Rick began preaching using his connection to Elvis as part of his drawing card. And he had a sermon that he loved to preach, and he would tantalize people with. Now realize this is back in the late 70s, early 80s. We didn't have all the electronics we have today. And he would entice a morning worship service to come back for the night service by telling him he was going to tell them how much Elvis Presley left behind. And folks were fascinated with Elvis, you know that. And they loved to see pictures of the mansion, and they loved to see the cars he drove. And so when he would set that up, folks would, you know, pack the place because they wanted to hear how much Elvis left behind. And Stanley was kind of a teaser guy anyway. And he would spend the whole evening building up this message to only answer the question, I'm going to tell you how much Elvis left behind. All of it. Yeah, think if you missed the pork chop for that one. Yeah, all of it. And he would talk about the fact that even Elvis Presley couldn't figure out how to take it with him. All Elvis could take with him was a life he lived, and everyone who knew him hoped and prayed that he knew Christ personally, and that today he lives with him. But the fact was, that wasn't Rick's point. Rick was, you don't see hearse going down the highway dragging a U-Haul. We don't take it. We leave all of it. And so when we spend our life on earthly things, it doesn't do us a bit of good. We don't get to take it with us. What matters is what's been stored up in heaven. What matters is the work done for the Lord. You see, our hands are constantly reaching for what benefits us. Look at what the scripture says in Matthew 6. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who's in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they've received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. You see, our hands reveal what our heart actually trusts. In the Old Testament synagogues, they had these big brass vase-type looking things with a big opening at the top and a big fanned-out bottom, and they called them trumpets. And it's where the offering went. And so, folks who wanted to press the congregation would bring a lot of loud money, coins, that they could just ching, 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 just make a racket dropping them in those trumpets to make sure everybody realized how much they were giving. Now, in our daytime, it seems to be a little different. We get a lot of offerings. I pity our counting team who has to count the offerings, because oftentimes they spend a lot of time unfolding some denomination of a dollar bill that's been folded down as small as it could possibly go, as if we don't want anybody to see what this is. I have some great news for you. Nobody cares. Nobody's looking. We don't have scouts in the congregation standing over these plates. That offering is for God. It's God's money and God's counting it. God bless us. We're not watching. So if you want to, you can stop folding them up real small. That really helped the counters not to have to practically dig their way through. So, but the fact is, we don't need to make a big deal. We don't need to make a lot of noise. In fact, when we do work, we're not supposed to let one hand know what the other hand's doing. Just let it be secret. God will bless. He knows. You see, the truth is our hands are failed hands. They're failed hands. We are not born to do what God wants us to do. It's not our nature. Our nature's like that baby, to just grab at things that fascinate us. And so our hands are failed, and we don't just need clean hands. We need redemption. We need new hands. We need sinful hands changed to be hands doing the glory work of Christ. So you don't have to wear yourself out going for changed hands. You don't have to try to do things differently. You don't have to fatigue yourself trying to get it right, working energetically for God's favor. None of that's necessary. Because you see, point number two is a beautiful truth. Jesus opens his nailed, scarred hands to us. That's awesome. Awesome. He opens his nailed, scarred hands. You know why they're nailed scarred. He was nailed through hands and feet to the cross to pay for our sin. He died on that cross. In fact, he committed his spirit into the hands of the Father. And 3 days later, he came from the grave. We just celebrated Easter. Listen, we don't have to fix ourselves. We just need redemption. We need Jesus to turn our life around, to change our life. We need Jesus to rebirth us to his glory and his honor. He opens his nail-scarred hands to us. When he came back from the grave, he was making the rounds, meeting the disciples and the believers. And in point two there, he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Thomas is history famous for being doubting Thomas, because he told his brothers, I'm not going to believe it till I see it. Sounds like a Missouri boy to me. The old show me state. He wasn't buying it. Not until he could see it. And so when Jesus has an opportunity to see Thomas, he says, here, big boy, put your finger there. Look at my side where the spear went in. Are you believing now? You see, we have nail-scarred hands offered to us. Jesus meets doubting people with his scarred hands, not crossed arms. Jesus extends his hands, his scarred hands, to us. He doesn't sit in judgment, arms clasped, staring judgmentally, pronouncing condemnation. That's not Jesus. That's some churches today, sadly, but it's not Jesus. What our hands are reaching, what are our hands reaching for or holding on to? Because I'm sure it's exhausting. It's exhausted hands. It gets tiring trying to be good enough. And you know why it's so fatiguing? Because we can't get tall enough, high enough. We can't get good enough. We can't rid our life of enough bad things. We don't have the capacity to make ourselves better. We need the changing power of Jesus. And He changes our hands from being exhausted. You see, before God ever asks anything from our hands, He gives us everything through His hands. So before He asks anything of you, He gives to you. Paul reminded Timothy, faithful is He who calls you, who also will do it. He was telling Paul, Paul was telling Timothy, don't worry about doing the work. Jesus will do the work. If He calls you to it, He'll do it. We have a saying here at Hope. In fact, it's the first place I ever heard it said. But we say it a lot. If it's God's will, it's God's bill. We trust the Lord for a lot here at Hope. We trust to follow God's lead, and we expect Him to provide. We don't spend a lot of time using our hands to grab at things of the world. We use our hands to do the work of the kingdom in the world, but not for the world. You see, in John 10, He says, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of My hand. Do you hear that? We, once we are in the hand of God, can never be snatched out. We're as secure as we can be. Paul says, in fact, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit, like a big baggie, Ziploc. We're going nowhere. No one can pluck us out of His hands. Point D, His hands don't let go. Discipleship's not held together by our grip on Jesus, but by His grip on us. My security's not dependent upon how hard I can hold on. No. My security, my place in heaven, my place in God's family and in His service is based on His grip on me. And He'll never let go. You may be here this morning or online watching, and there's a storm in your life. You're working through some issues. Perhaps a relationship is breaking. Perhaps you're misunderstood. Perhaps you and God aren't on the same page. You're not sure what's happening. There's just a storm. It's brewing around you. And you're not sure how it's going to turn out, what God's purpose is in it. Well, at least let me give you this much. I don't know answers about storms. I'm not sure why we're asked to go through certain things at certain times, but I know this. No matter what God sends me through, He never lets me go. You're not alone today. Whatever it is you're going through, whatever you're suffering through, whatever you wish would hurry up and get over, you've had those circumstances, haven't you? Man, when will this get over? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how long it takes. God never lets go. We're in His hand. And while I'm in His hand, number three, Christ changes self-serving hands into serving hands. In other words, he takes my self-serving hands that are always grabbing for something of the world, and he changes them. That's what redemption does. It flips our life around, and he changes my hands into serving hands. I stop grabbing for things that I want, and I start using them to do the work he wants. Are you there yet? God's calling you to that today. Because you see, held by his hands, we are sent with ours to do his work. Things like worship. The Bible says, clap your hands, all peoples. Shout to God with loud songs of joy. It's amazing how loud we can get at a sporting event or a concert. But in church, mum's the word. We misunderstand. There is joy in worship. I'm convinced that folks break the gate of heaven, and if they hadn't been changed in nature, they would think, oh, Lordy, I can't stay here because it's too loud. They're praising. There are angels, so many that we can't count them. You do get the word multitude, right? And when it says multitudes and multitudes, oh, we're in big trouble. You know how loud heaven's going to be? With those folks praising the name of Jesus. Just the elders alone circling his throne, saying, no one's greater. Worthy is the Lamb. Now they're not sitting across from the king, arms and hands, legs crossed, in a business chair going, you know what, Jesus? You are just something. Oh, no. Oh, no. Bible says they spend all of eternity laying their cross, their crowns down at the foot of Jesus. And they say, worthy is the Lamb. Shouting. In fact, we talk a lot about angels singing. Read the book. There's not one angel recorded singing. You know what they do? Everywhere you see in Revelation, the throne room of God, angels are shouting. Shouting. Saints are singing. The glorified, the redeemed, they sing and shout. But angels spend their eternity shouting the glory of God. Gonna be loud. I can't wait. You're not going to have to hit heaven and say, turn it up. It'll already be up. It'll be up. We worship with our hands. I desire then that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. We have changed hands in order to worship him. We have changed hands in order to do his work. Scripture says to aspire to live quietly, to mind your own affairs, and to work with your hands as we instructed you. We do God's work, not my own. I'm not here for my gain or my glory. I'm here for his gain and his glory. I have hands that I can bless with. These they set before the apostles and they prayed and laid their hands on them. That were the new deacons. that we're blessed. You know what it's like to lay your hands, to have the privilege of laying your hands upon someone who needs your prayer. And to be able to speak God and His love into a life, to bless someone. The Bible tells us that Proverbs tells us that the power of life and death is in the tongue. Story is told of a little high school freshman, first year at the new high school. And the weekend before the first day of school, she and her mom had planned for a long time to go shop for that outfit for the first day of school. And they set aside the time, the money, even knew where they were going to have lunch. That's why I shop with Judy, because there's always lunch involved. In fact, when she said, "You want to go? We having lunch?" "Well, yeah. I'm going." They had all their plans, and they went out on that Saturday, and they spent all day, tried on all sorts of outfits, and that precious little girl finally got the outfit she wanted, and she headed towards school for the first day of school in her brand new outfit. And she jumped down off the bus, and there were 3 ninth grade boys standing right over here. And the one kid, she heard him say, "Check that outfit. What a joke." The other two laughed. How do you think that little girl felt the rest of the day, rest of the week, maybe the rest of the ninth grade? We have opportunities to bless people with what we say, not tear them down, not destroy them, not step on their dream. No, bless them. In fact, we should look for somebody to bless. I was out the other day in older woman was coming toward me. She had a big smile on her face. She was struggling a little bit to walk, but she was doing pretty good on her own. And as we passed on the sidewalk, she looked at me with that big grin, and she said, "God bless you." Now, she could have said a lot of things. She could have asked me for something. She could have needed something. But what I got was a blessing from her. Showed the preacher up, because she didn't get one from me. We have the power to bless. We've been given that work to do. We're to lift people up when we see them. We can also heal. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You receive without paying, give without pay. We can heal people. Say, "Oh, no, hang on, Steve. Don't tell me you're a healer." Not in that sense. I don't slap people on the forehead and hope somebody catches them. No. But I have prayed over folk who did end up coming home from that hospital bed. I've prayed for work situations to improve so that friends of mine who were seeking God's will had their cantankerous, mean, life-sucking boss taken out of their office. God didn't remove them. That's what they were praying for. Lord, send me somewhere else. And he didn't do it. But he sent their boss somewhere else. God can do anything. Healing. We have that power, not because of what we've been given, but because God is in us. And God can do that. He can use us to heal, to bless, to work, to worship, and lastly, to serve. So whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. We serve God. And can I just chase this one rabbit? You don't have to be in the church house to serve the Lord. You serve him right where you are. You serve him in that civic club you're a member of. You serve him while you're alongside your friends at lunch. You serve him in your workstation. You serve him wherever you are. So lastly, we work for the Lord and eternal treasures. We work for the Lord and eternal treasures. We don't work for treasures here. That won't do us any good. But we work for the treasures that are in heaven, that are stored up and waiting for us. Let's do for God, through God, and the blessings will come. Let's pray. Let's look at our memory verse. Let's say it together. Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. Oh, may we remember that as we go through this week. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for giving us the ears to hear. And may our lives begin to bring honor and glory to you as we serve with committed hands given to us by you. Thank you in the precious name of Jesus. Now let's pray as we've been taught. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. This morning we're going to continue worship by receiving our morning offering. And so we invite you to join us in your bulletin. There's an envelope for your offering, and in a moment we're going to invite you to bring them here to our offering plates. They're felt lined, and they're not tall, so they won't make a lot of noise. It's okay. So we're going to invite you to do that, and when you bring your offering, bring your connection card, if you will, especially with the back filled out. If there are events coming that you want to be a part of, there should be a checkbox there for you to mark that you want to be a part of that. We would love to know that, and the right people will be in touch with you. We're so grateful that you've come to be with us today. I want to call your attention to the partnership class. There, that's a misprint in the bulletin. It's Tuesday night, not Thursday. And the membership class is a week away on Tuesday, not Thursday. So make a note of that. If you'd like to come be a partner with Hope, learn what membership would look like, I invite you to join me for the partnership meeting this Tuesday at 6:30. We welcome you to come and be with us. The other announcements are there in the bulletin for you. And don't forget, as you leave, we will have that gift for you, moms. to take with you. And so I'm going to lead us in prayer, and then we'll take our offering and ask you to bring it here to the front. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. And we pray that every part of this day, all that hope has offered you, brings you glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. You may come.
And keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you, the Lord turn his face toward you, and give you peace. The Lord bless you.
Again, we're very grateful that you've come, and we wish you a happy Mother's Day. God's blessings. In fact, we're going to sing one more song before we bless. Is that right? I'm getting directions from my producer back here. So let's stand together, and let's go to the Lord in worship song one more time, and Christy then will bless us as we go.
I hope you all can bless me with your singing as well, because this one requires a little shouting. Some victory in Jesus. Here we go.
I heard a story, how Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He saw me.
Rest of your day. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you, and may the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen. God bless you all.